And good morning, folks. It's coffee time. Coffee with Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning. We'll be right back after this song. Stay tuned.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. When the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, "We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. Anymore." Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon her glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Now we know our cause is right and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, "We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more back. We're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it
And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is March 8th, 2025. We welcome you out there, and I've got some men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Will.
Good morning.
Well, thanks for being here this morning, men. And, Tim, why don't you kick us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Certainly. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, and we just thank you for another opportunity to be the service of our great King, Jesus Christ. Well, Lord, we just pray that you would put words in our mouth and thoughts in our mind, Lord, that you cause your people to have eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, that it might be taken, used, and that whatever comes out of this might gain you honor and glory, Lord. We pray that you would just watch over our families and our people wherever and whatever they might be doing, Lord, and bless them according to your plan and purpose for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray now that you would just make our conversation pleasing to you this morning. guide and direct and keep us. And Lord, just make plain the plans of the enemy to us, Lord, that we might see the things that are going on. But Lord, also renew in us the joy and hope of our salvation in realizing that our King has won the battle. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen.
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 Thank you, man. I appreciate that. And, well, I'm going to open it up and just see, is anything that anybody wants to start off with this morning?
Well, I kind of thought it was interesting that I guess it sounds like Trudeau's on his way out. His own party ousted him over all this. And, you know, there's been some serious jumps on talking about the Canadian ag tariffs and the Canadian car tariffs and all the stuff going on over there. And I was like, well, I wonder, I seen that they've been doing some, they do tariffs on us. They have been for years. I mean, like, I don't know, decades really. But, you know, I looked up some of their tariffs and their tariffs that they charge us if we import milk or butter or cheese into their country, and there's others besides that, but the tariffs they charge us are like milk's 243%, butter's 298%, cheese is 245%. But my, they just, you know, crying their eyes out about us charging them any tariffs for what they bring in. And, you know, this is at a time when prices over there for, I guess, food. Let's don't. They like the word ag tariffs, but I like the word food. But a lot of those kind of things that come in there. I mean, food prices in Canada are really, I guess, outrageous. Of course, I probably due partially to their universal health care tack-ons and all that. But you know, there's another study there talking about the Canadians being literally over 50% of the country is literally $200 away from, and that's per month, of being away from being insolvent. So I think the rest of the world's kind of that way too, personally. But I just thought it was a kind of a snapshot of what was going on all over the place.
Yeah, I got a rant from Derek last week, and it was something that he sent me, and it says, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I am so sick and tired of hearing Trudeau speak so much BS, and nobody calls him out on his hypocrisy. He calls Putin a dictator when just a few years ago in 2022, he invoked the Emergency Act, a wartime measure act, because he couldn't handle the peaceful protest by a bunch of hardworking truckers who refused to follow his inhumane and unjustified vaccine mandates. And if that wasn't bad enough, he then froze people's bank accounts who supported the cause." And anyway, it goes on and on. But Trudeau is he's getting exposed, and boy, he's got his tail back between his legs. That's for sure.
Yep. There's some interesting things going on up there. So.
And I don't even understand these dairy tariffs, but 250% or something like that. I mean, I'm not exactly sure how that works, but is that actually what it is?
Yeah, the milk tariff, milk, butter, and cheese is between 243 and 298% is what the dairy tariffs are. And they've got their guys dumping milk out up there. Of course we do too, but you know, because, and it's, I've said it before, there is no shortage of food. They talk about all this GMO and all this other stuff. Well, we have to have these modified crops to feed people. It's like there's no shortage of food, folks. What there are is government policies that cause people to starve to death, and that's an example of it right there. Yeah. So.
And Tim, to be clear, that's our dairy products that are going into Canada that are hitting us there.
Yeah, those are Canadian imports. Yeah, basically they could ship milk, butter, and cheese to us. We weren't charging them up until now any tariff to speak of. I mean, it was like they could bring them in here. You could buy Canadian milk. There was no tariff. But if our farmers wanted to ship any of those dairy products into Canada, then there was these super high tariffs on there. And I mean, I don't have in front of me right now what the actual tariff number is that the current administration is trying to put on Canadian imports in here, but it's like last I heard, I think it was 30 or 40%, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. So compared to what they're tacking on to our stuff going that way, it's nothing. I mean, you know, so it's just like,
news to me. I've never heard that before. That's amazing.
Yeah.
We see all these, the attack on food is just absolutely incredible. I mean, it's all going on all around us, whether it's beef, chicken, milk or grain. One of the things I can remember from back in the 80s really was the fact that we were shipping our grain out all over the place, but they were doing a trade thing where basically the American people paid for the grain and the shipping and everything else, and then we gave it away as part of a foreign aid package. But that amounts to the same thing as a tariff. It's like, okay, they bought our grain. No, you bought the grain. You know, the government bought the grain for them. I mean, it was like, how's that work? So, you take the money out of your left pocket, put it in your right pocket, or what? So.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. There is some, there's a lot going on up there, and Derek says that the food banks up there, they're heavily used. And I know that's one of the things that I've seen some pictures, and those food banks up there, it looks like they just they get loaded up and cleaned out just about as fast as they can stock them.
Well, and I think when you understand the financial situation up there and the what do you want to call it, political environment, basically, like I said, people are almost at the break even point. I mean, if you're only $200 away from insolvency and everything, how do you feed your family? How do you these are people that go to work every day and everything else, but they can no longer. I think the definition of slavery is.
That's what I was going to say. That sounds like slavery to me.
Yeah. Well, I think it plays into it.
Well over 50% of the Canadian population is on some sort of public assistance as well. You're talking about slavery that, a large portion of these incomes are coming from government subsidies somehow in Canada.
You're absolutely right, too, because I know at one time, I can remember my dad was looking at moving up there. And we didn't go, obviously, but I was a kid. But I can remember them saying, well, if you're one of these trades or whatever that we need up here, why, they would pay you a subsistence payment and everything to relocate to Canada. That would have been back in the 70s, but it was a pretty substantial amount of money. But then when you considered the prices even then of foodstuffs and other costs of living, why, it was like, okay, I don't know that that's such a good deal, but you still got them on the dole. And it was the same way for citizens. So, I mean,
yeah, it's I was looking, this was a while back, but I know that they got these government programs too for hiring illegals that the government subsidizes the illegal workforce, and I guess it pays, and I think it varies on the field that you put them into, but it really encourages it. And you just think about what that does to the citizens. I mean, it takes the citizens, which are, basically the white people that are up there, a lot of them. I mean, there's a lot of foreigners that are citizens also, but the white people up there is given, them a fair advantage. Because they're subsidizing these illegals up to 30%. I think it's 35% in some industries where the government will pay 35% of their wages if you're hiring, a foreigner. And it's like, you just stop and you think about that. I mean, that's like, that's like 35% profit going into a business owner's pocket as an incentive for hiring an illegal immigrant. I mean, that's just, that's insanity. And you really think that that's going to help build a country up? It's going to, I think it's just what the Bible says. It's steal, kill, and destroy. I mean, it's obviously that they're, trying to destroy a country and a people.
And Jason, that's not to mention the assistance that Canada gives out. Well, our own country gives out. Or at least we did. We'll see if it continues. And that's the public assistance for foreign-born business owners, for startups, you know, the grant money, the seed money to start businesses. I know that's been rampant across Canada as well.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a few programs we're missing there as well, too. You know, I mean, it's like,
yeah, no doubt.
They have them in every nook, cranny, and corner. It's like there's actually companies out there who literally make their living finding these grants and assistance programs for people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, every once in a while you'll hear an ad on radio or something, a little loan assistance program. Contact us for a small fee. We can get you hooked up. You know, it's like, oh, wow.
You know, I know we're talking about Canada, but have y'all heard about Elon Musk's Starlink in South Africa, that he can't do business in his home country?
No, I did not. What's going on with that?
I have.
So Starlink, you know, for the folks that are listening, it's a satellite-based internet service, but it's an amazing product. It really works, and it's owned by Elon Musk. It was started by Elon Musk. It has really provided internet through a lot of southern Africa, especially like in the bush and the Congo. South Africa, Elon Musk is a South African national, has prohibited Elon Musk from utilizing Starlink in South Africa, because they have a rule in South Africa that all telecommunications companies has to be at least 30% black owned.
Oh, jeez. How do they ever get anything to work?
Well, they don't. And that's the whole idea here. That's the reason why they don't have a functioning internet, because of that. So Elon Musk, who is born, raised, educated in South Africa and continues to be a dual citizen of South Africa, can't do business in his home country. Because Starlink is not 30% black owned.
Wow.
That makes total sense, right?
Oh, gee whiz.
So, you know, just across the border in like Zimbabwe, they have functioning high speed internet, because they don't have that type of, moronic rule. So I came across that this morning, and while we were talking about Canada and the minority businesses and all of that, I just thought, how incredibly stupid is that?
That is stupid.
It certainly promotes and increases racism at every, I mean, all those kinds of rules. That's all that does, is create barriers to good things. And that's what they're after. You know, I mean, it's kind of like the Democrats here in the last area. Well, we're going to get rid of this problem. They made it 10 times worse. I mean, from the Obama mm-hmm. administration and Biden, it was a non-problem, but boy, they beat that drum and stirred that pot for all they were worth worldwide, you know, I mean, at every available opportunity. And it's like, it just makes me shake my head every time I see it. I'm just like, oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, the irony of South Africa is, you know, in the 90s, we were all fed the line of the Afrikaner government was the most oppressive, racist government in the entire world. So obviously they had their revolution, and the ANC, the black communists, took over. And now they're the most racist, oppressive government maybe in the world when it comes to the discrimination and racism. So I don't know. It's amazing.
It is amazing. And I wonder, too, of how much that is, if they hide behind that, because I really don't think that we don't see a whole lot of stuff coming out of South Africa. It's really hard to find any news. And anything coming out of South Africa. So I really wonder also if it's just another form of censorship, because I really think that they don't want the stories being told of some of the stuff that's happening in South Africa.
Along those lines, Jason. I'm sorry, Tim, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Well, you're fine. I'm good.
This week, you know, we've been hearing about Trump and his executive orders of cutting aid off to South Africa. And we're not really hearing in our own media why that's happening, why we're paying attention to that now. This week, the president of South Africa voted or signed the legislation to change the constitution of South Africa. And they did have similar rights to what it looked like in our constitution. They had the right to private property and that sort of thing. Well, this week, the Constitution, they voted to change the Constitution. So now it is truly the law of the land in South Africa, what they're calling expropriation without compensation. and about about 80% of farmland is owned by the white population, the African population. And my understanding of how this is going to work is if the government decides that they need to expropriate a parcel of land, it will go to a judge to decide what the compensation is or isn't. And they've changed their constitution that certain minorities can have their personal property taken without compensation because of historical sins against the population of South Africa. So essentially, they've legalized the theft of land. They've put it in their constitution now that this is the law of the land.
Huh. Yeah, I seen one article. They were talking about a land reform. They said more like a land revolution. You know, it was a turnover.
Yes.
And they continue this has been going on for some time, although a little more, what do you want to call it, under the radar.
Under the radar, yeah.
Yeah, but what they've run into is they continue to starve. They continue to their food. And not only that, it's traditionally proven, economically speaking, for a country, whether it's it works that way for every country in the world. The services companies or service countries, I'm sorry, they starve to death. They it's a break even hand to mouth kind of life. Mm-hmm. Industrialized countries, they do financially better on GNP and on individual prosperity. Not great, but better by about 50% than service countries. Whereas ag countries that are primarily ag focused, they really do well GNP and financial wise. I mean, they do much mm-hmm. better. And you know, so what we're seeing here is this move away from, they don't really care whether the people have any skill level or any ability. They just, it's all about color and ownership and, they can't make anything grow. I mean, you can't farm with a stick.
Right.
Feed more than yourself if you're lucky. So that's
well, and I think is what happened over there in South Africa, from what I understand. And I mean, I think it's pretty accurate. But they had very prosperous farms at one point in time, and it was the Dutch and the white people that had settled that area and they'd farmed and prosperous and fed people. And when they took those. They took those farms and they gave them to the black people, and they pretty much started starving overnight. They wanted the farms, but they didn't want to farm.
That's right.
Yeah. It's like, well, they'll make lots of money, but they don't unless they're put to use. You know, I mean, that requires.
Well, it takes work. Effort. It takes. It takes incentive. You got to put seed in the ground to get. You got to put plant corn seed in the ground to get corn to come up. I mean, it's kind of simple.
I think it's the old tale of you had an envious population that wanted the wealth and prosperity, but when they were given the means, they had no clue what to do with it. Because if they had known what to do with it, they would be wealthy and prosperous themselves.
Exactly. Well, the thing is that they went in and they've murdered a lot of the people too. I mean, it's just the murder and that has taken place over there in South Africa. I mean, they got a word for it, and we're talking with people that have got out of South Africa that have come over here and moved, that were born and raised over there. I've talked to several of them, and they look at the black population completely different over there, and they call them cancer. And they said that's just mm-hmm. what they do. They spread and they kill and they destroy. And they have a hatred for them over there after going through what they went through. And it's not popular to talk about, but I mean, it's a real deal and it happens over there. And it's interesting.
For sure.
Well,
I was gone. Go ahead.
I was going to say, let's move on. And did anybody get a chance to dig into the presidential address at all?
Have y'all ever seen anything like that before?
No, never.
You know, the one thing that I kept—I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched, I don't know, hour and a half of it or something like that. And the one thing I kept thinking as I was watching the video is there is an absolute and obvious divide between the elected Democrats and the rest of America. And I'm not even saying the Democrat part. I'm just saying those people that were in that building, there is an obvious real divide. That was what kept going through my mind. How about y'all?
Exactly.
Yeah, even the word disconnect comes to my mind. I mean, it's like they were, you know, it's like,
what just happened here?
Somebody just turned them all off. What's going on?
It occurred to me, I don't want to throw this around, but I kept thinking about that obvious divide, that disconnect in Civil War. And what I was thinking is this like the cold Civil War where it is just so divided that we're broken and now we're putting it on national and international television for everyone to see that this is how divided we are. That's what I kept thinking.
Yeah, that's one of the thoughts that I thought. I was thinking, what is the rest of the world thinking? Do we look like we're just completely divided and does it look like we are? What are they really thinking? And I mean, not that I really care what they're thinking, but I mean, how does this look to to the outside world?
Yeah, I caught a little bit of Sky News Australia. I like to watch that in the mornings. And one of the things that at least their talking head that was reading the news that morning said the day after was America is back. That was kind of their take on it. It was a very positive take. It wasn't negative.
Well, that's good.
It was positive.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
You know, I pulled it up here. I have it in front of me. I just wanted – one of the things that I thought was kind of just awesome. I don't have another word for it. It was just awesome. Trump, as he was speaking, and I think it was amazing because he wasn't trying to hide it. He was speaking directly to one side of that building. And he was talking about these trans surgeries, specifically with kids. And his quote was, "I want Congress to pass a bill permanently banning and criminalizing sex changes on children and forever ending the lie that any child is trapped in the wrong body. This is a big lie, and our message to every child in America is that you are perfect exactly the way God made you." And coming off the 4 years of insanity, I was kind of gobsmacked a little bit thinking, am I actually hearing this coming from a president of the United States? You know, this is fantastic. So it praise the Lord indeed.
Well, it's a very directional message when you think about it. I mean, the fact is, yes, at your age, as a, you know, you hear about these kids that are like 10 years old having these issues. It's like at your age, there might be some confusion, but we'll get you through it. We'll help you understand. You'll be okay. I mean, the situations that arise that are confusing these children and creating these problems, they're not created by the child. They're created by the adults and the society and the soup that they're living in right now. You've got them in a place that is teaching them that there's something wrong with them and that they're, you know, in the wrong body and all these kind of things. It's like, well, that's God made you just the way you're supposed to be. So
that's right. Tim, along those lines of thinking about like just the propaganda that we don't know about that's coming out now. You know, I don't remember the exact number, but I think Doge came out that we spent several million dollars on transgender comic books in Peru for children. And that makes me think, how much more have we spent here that we don't know about, as propaganda for our elementary school kids that has probably been used to just delude their minds. I promise you that will come out.
Yeah, yeah. And talking about what Jason just said, how about that? What do you think the rest of the world thought about that?
No kidding, right?
Exactly.
Well, and I think that it one of the things that it does is when you take this DEI garbage and you say get out, I see that it just hit national intelligence. They got marching orders as of yesterday, and their DE program is out, and they said resign or be fired if you're part of this program. So, I mean, that's huge. And I think that, you know, getting these trannies and these homosexuals out of our military is a big, big deal. And I think that that actually shows strength for our military also.
Worldwide, yeah. For sure.
I mean,
yeah.
I think we were the laughingstock. I mean, it was like, it was embarrassing to me when all of a sudden they came out and they started letting these all these homosexuals and these trannies into the military. It's like, oh my gosh. I mean, it's like, I was thinking back then, what is the rest of the world thinking of us now? It's like, I don't want them to think that all of America is like this.
Right on. Yeah, absolutely. That's a minority thing.
I can still hear Pastor Peter saying, proud America of what?
What do you... Of what? That's
hard
right.
Hard to fly with the eagles when you're running around with a bunch of turkeys.
Oh,
yeah, exactly. Well, I think that when we look at, you know, it's just like, the word salads that they talked about. I mean, I am pleased that there's a big shakeup going on. I mean, everything may not be going exactly however you think it should be, but there's a whole lot of shaking going on. And I do appreciate that. I know one of the things I heard about that I thought was interesting here in our country, and I think that was a Doge thing. Maybe you guys heard something about it, but I guess they had taken all of the government spending cards away from the government employees, and some judge said, well, you can't do that. And so they were like, okay, they gave them all back, but they've got a $1 limit on them now.
Jim, did you know of what they were running up the credit cards per month?
I didn't, but I'm, if you know, I'd be interested to hear. So,
yeah, it was a $20 million a month. Is what we had as far as credit cards across the federal government.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just, well, and I just like the fact it's like they're always about the loopholes. They use those loopholes all the time, the enemies of the kingdom do. And it was like, well, okay, we'll do that. Here we go. We give them back the cards. Like you said, you got a $1.
We can use them too. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. And,
you know,
go ahead.
No, go ahead, Jason.
Well, I was going to say this. I don't know a lot about it, but I've been hearing bits and pieces, and I looked into it, and I know that the Jews are really upset, and the ADL's really upset with Kingsley Wilson. And, you know, anytime that they're upset with somebody, it makes you kind of look at them and say, hey, maybe this person's got something right. You know?
Yeah. I've looked at that, too, and... isn't that something? This is the new deputy press secretary of the Pentagon, and I haven't found any fault with her yet. I don't know. I don't know how much you want to go into that, Jason.
I'd say let's go with it. I think there's a lot of stuff to talk about there. You know, it used to be, it's kind of interesting that the ADL used to be one of these things that it's kind of funny because they used to be something that a lot of people, you know, we got on the ADL list and people were, you know, upset about it and this and that and kind of fearful of it. But I really think that the ADL has really lost its power. And it's polling. Basically, it's like now you hear about somebody being on the ADL list. I want to go look at them and see. It's like, oh, these guys are probably some pretty good people over here.
I just pulled this up. And so Kingsley Wilson, this week in the Jewish Times, they I guess which is a magazine or something, they posted this article that the ADL has come out. And they're protesting Kingsley Wilson's appointment, I guess, to deputy press secretary of the Pentagon. And part of this has to do with her social media post criticizing the ADL for honoring Leo Frank, which I would happily talk about Leo Frank if you would like to. But she criticized the ADL for honoring this guy, Leo Frank. But she also went on in some of her social media posts to criticize the great replacement theory. She celebrated Christian nationalism. She called Robert E. Lee one of the greatest Americans to ever live. She praised the far-right alternatives for German Party, downplayed the Holocaust, suggested that women shouldn't be police officers, compared the murder of Israeli babies to Hamas to abortion. She went on to talk about sending additional troops to the Middle East, and she said that Israel can fight their own wars, and the only place that U.S. troops should be sent is the southern border. And all I can say to that is, it sounds like my kind of gal.
Yeah, no doubt.
She's
very direct. Yeah, I appreciate
and we
that,
need to, we need to keep her in our prayers too, just because you know they've got a way of going in and destroying somebody's reputation and destroying somebody's career too, and that's the way that the enemy works. And you know, I think that when we see somebody like this that's taking the fire, you know, that's how we can assist them is just lift them up in prayer. And so let's make sure that we do that, and also in the future too, because you know, she's fighting a good fight.
Amen. Yeah, so, isn't it exciting to see so many people that are holding prominent positions being outspoken when it comes to things like this?
Yeah, and standing up for what they believe in, and saying no, and you know, fighting. I mean, it's like we've got the fight back in us for a lot of these people. That's what I see.
I agree. It feels like America. I like it.
Yeah, it does.
Well, when you shine these lights on, when you shine the light of exposure on these situations that are going on, I mean, regardless of whatever comes in the future, you can't put that genie back in the bottle, is the old saying, you know, or the cat back in the bag. I mean, it's like, that stuff's out. People are thinking about it. People are upset. People are talking about it. And that's a good thing. I mean, a little fire in the pot, like we've said before, you know, and the Bible makes a deal out of that. Maybe you can do something about it, actually. Maybe you can physically, you know, maybe you definitely can pray about it. But the simple point of the fact is God says that when we cry out, things change. And there's some outcry going on. And that is a very good thing. So people are upset and crying out. And the other thing, well, if they lied to you about that, what else did they lie to us about? What else have they covered up? People start, you know, sniffing around and digging around, and more to come.
Yeah, and I don't, and I'm going to take a step back. Well, I don't know a whole lot about Leo Frank. I know a Jew convicted of murder and rape, I believe, but I didn't think that there was. I don't know a lot about him.
Leo Frank. He was a young man. He was originally from Texas. He was a Jewish family. They moved to Atlanta, Georgia, in the early part of the 20th century, in the early 1900s. At the time, Atlanta was a huge hotbed for industry, especially the clothing industry, as far as making clothes. And there was a huge Jewish population in Atlanta, and it mainly centered around industry, manufacturing. And Leo Frank moved into Atlanta and headed up the National Pencil Company, which made pencils, just wooden pencils, and very active in the Jewish community, was an officer of the B'nai B'rit there in Atlanta, and he had a reputation of liking younger girls, and at the time, child labor was a very normal thing. There was a young lady who worked on the assembly line making pencils named Mary Fagan. And Mary Fagan was 13 years old. And one morning, a black night watchman found her body. and the Atlanta police came in and investigated it. And she had been brutally raped and beaten. Initially, they looked at Leo Frank. Leo Frank actually tried to frame and blame the Black Night Watchman. He was arrested. He was later acquitted. And all of the evidence pointed toward Leo Frank. And Leo Frank was arrested and convicted. But before he could go to prison, a neighboring community outside of Atlanta where Mary Fagan was actually from, called Marietta, a group of men came from Marietta to Atlanta and took Leo Frank and hung him by his neck and killed him, which I think is justice. But that is the story of Leo Frank. So when this press secretary for the Pentagon says, criticizes this piece memorializing Leo Frank, what she was saying is you're memorializing a rapist and a murderer who tried to frame a Black man for a murder he committed. So that's the story of Leo Frank.
Wow. And they and that's what they went after her because, wow, that's, yeah, huh. Yeah. Well, that's telling. I mean, and that's what they like. They like the people that frame other people. They like the rapists. They like the murderers. I mean, that's the people that they want to hold up as, you know, celebrities and, you know, you build statues and memorials for and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, I mean, maybe they should have a memorial for the lynch mob that executed justice.
Well, the prologue to that story is the lynch mob. There were 6 to 8 men. They were never identified. No one knew who they were. So even though this was done in broad daylight, no one could identify them.
Yeah, interesting, huh? Well, we had some good people back then.
Yeah.
Who?
I see nothing.
I see nothing. Absolutely. So.
Yeah, wow. That's a good story, huh?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. The other thing that, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on with in the food and health industry. A lot of changes that are going to be taking place there. A lot of these, you know, it's kind of funny because it's even my kids are getting a chuckle out of it. They hear these, you know, and sometimes they don't catch a lot of stuff, but they catch bits and pieces. And talking about hearing some of the red dyes and the food colorings and stuff that are, you know, supposedly on their way out in the United States. And even my 8-year-old, he was laughing and he's like, it's all the stuff that we don't eat anyway. And kind of funny.
Yeah.
Common sense from an 8-year-old, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I laugh because, I mean, I don't know very many people's children that when they pick something up or anything like that, they're looking at the ingredients. And the other day, my daughter, she comes running into the living room with something. He's like, can you believe that we have this in our kitchen? She's like, do you know what it has in it? And it's like, oh, it's like. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, you try and you try and you try. And what I've noticed is a lot of this stuff, you buy a good product and you read the ingredients on it and it's good for a while. And then they try to, you know, after a while, they change the ingredients on it. I mean, that's something that just happens. I mean, something that doesn't have or didn't have high fructose corn syrup in it at one time. Now it does. And so it's just, you know, something you just got to, you know, keep on top of. I mean, we try, but it's sometimes it's just hard, and sometimes you fail.
They're very sneaky. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's like, talking about that, I seen an article before, it was about Friday last week, and they were talking about the fact that, oh, well, the cattle population for being fattened up, you know, for fattening up cows and everything, is down. It's as low as it's been for, years, and I don't remember the exact number of years at the moment, but I was like, really? And that's interesting. So we were on the way to see the granddaughters last weekend, and we got going down the road, there's feedlots all along the highway, And everyone we went by is literally jammed to the rail full of Peters. I mean, there's so I don't really know what that article was talking about, but there's plenty of cows on feed out here. I mean, everybody's full up. So just I just thought that was kind of an interesting, little side note.
I was talking with somebody yesterday. We were I was getting some steers and trying to, going to basically finish them out. And just talking about the cattle market. And, I mean, cattle market's good. Prices are on these steers were high. Did get, what you call a good deal is just still is a lot of money right now. But at the same time, it's like, you try to buy good all-natural beef out of the grocery store and or from a meat market, and you'd go broke doing that. I mean, it's just crazy how much it is. And cattle market's good, and, I mean, it looks like it's just going to keep going up and up and up and up. I mean, I don't see it coming down at all.
Well, and there's so many things. Secretary Brooke Rollins, U.S. Department of Agriculture, we've been looking at putting some more, chicks out. And, of course, been a little concerned over the, the avian bird flu vaccines on them, which is, as I understand it, is an mRNA vaccine. And they were talking about making it mandatory that they were going to have to inoculate chicks with this new vaccine for avian bird flu. And she came out here over the last few days and just said that Donald Trump's administration will be focusing its egg price reduction efforts on repopulation of chickens and on biosecurity measures, and that the administration is ruling out any vaccines for animals against avian bird flu. So to me, that's a bright spot. I mean, that's something that we were really worried about, as far as that goes, because that's a DNA changer. They really got that whole war going on there with that stuff.
Well, and you don't know with that, they start, vaccinating those chickens, and with that RMA vaccine, you really don't know what that's going to do down the line. I mean, you think about that, that's going to go in and change the DNA of all those eggs, which are basically when I look at it as a perfect, food that God designed, and, go in and start manipulating that. And, what kind of effect is that going to have on people? From now to 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road, I mean, it's just a lot of stuff that we don't know. So I think that that's definitely something that, we definitely want to stay away from, for sure.
Yeah, and there's multiple studies that show that whole eggs actually reduce the effects for those who took the vaccine, the COVID jab and all that.
COVID.
And whole eggs are one of those. They're have a healing effect on that, prevent a lot of those issues. So I think that's another reason that they were targeting, killing over 200 million chickens. And the question may have already been asked, but how come egg prices have gone crazy, but chicken's still the same price as it was? I mean, it's like, what's going on here?
Funny, huh?
Yeah. Well, this is off subject, but you hear about them, having to euthanize a million chickens here and a million chickens there, at these chicken farms and stuff like that. What do you do with a million dead chickens, and how do you kill them? Do they gas them, or do they poison them, or they're obviously sick, so you don't buy a million shotgun shells and go shoot them. But what do you do with them?
Yeah, I have no clue.
I just don't know. I mean, I was thinking about it the other day, and I was like, I don't know. That'd be a big job just in itself, is taking care of you guys got to kill a million chickens, or even let's say it's 500,000. You guys got to go kill these 500,000. Chickens. How do you do that, and what do you do with them? I don't know.
Yeah. How do you get rid of them in a way that leads to contagion prevention? I mean, that's another.
They got to put them in an incinerator or something, I would think, or bury them, I guess. I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, we're talking, let's just say you're talking about, 500,000 birds at some one of these big commercial things and they kill them. If those birds, and I don't really know what the weight of laying hens is, but let's say 5 pounds a piece. I mean, that's, that's 2 million pounds of animals, right? If I do my math right, I think. But you're not going to load them in the back of a pickup truck and haul them off. I mean, it's like, where are they going with all that?
And to me, that begs the question of how, you got a call?
Yeah, we got a caller on the line. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Yeah, just Warren calling in. I just called in with a praise report. I know you probably the same as what we are here. You don't have a lot of, Christian radio programs to listen to, but the ones that we do listen to, they're starting to wake up. They accept calls from people, and people called in about, the homosexuals and stuff. They mentioned, Exodus and Deuteronomy and Romans. I just got a praise report on that. Because,
praise the Lord.
On this particular radio station, if you tried to talk about that on the phone, they screen the calls, they'd hang up on you. But praise the Lord that they're waking up. There's not many radio stations you can listen to, or even television ones with the Baal priest out there that, even close to God's word, but this one is starting to wake up.
Well, praise the Lord. That is a praise report. Thanks for sharing that with us, Warren. That's good news. I hear that too. I hear that a lot of places that there's, on so-called Christian radio programs, that there's a different tune that's being played right now. So that's exciting.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I mean, at one time, they wouldn't be allowed to be on the air even, if they mention about the homosexuals and the lesbians and gays, and that the title they got gets longer and longer. I listened to Donald Trump's speech the other night. I mean, besides the LGBTQT or whatever, it's got like four more letters on it. Praise the Lord, Trump's going to cut off funding to these schools that promote transgenders, and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what they did here at Colorado State University, and they started getting rid of their DEI programs and everything right away, just because they weren't going to get their federal funding if they continued on those with those programs. And from what I understand, it's like 2/3 of their funding comes from the federal government. And that's, taxes that are paid from, Colorado to the federal government, and then they get it back for the universities. But they were going to lose a huge amount of their funding. And so they had a wake-up call, that's for sure.
Right. Well, talk about taxes. They want to raise our taxes up here to put security cameras in our schools, hire more police officers. And I tell them that they need Jesus Christ in the school, And they say, well, that's a religion. Well, praise Jesus, I'm a Christian in that religion, because Christianity is a way of life, not something you practice there when you feel like it.
Amen.
Well, I'll let you guys go.
All right, Warren.
Out of time.
You have a good one. Keep up the good work.
Okay, God bless you.
God bless. Bye. Yeah, praise the Lord.
Yeah, they say that's a religion. Well, so are the schools.
That's right.
They just want to teach their version, or their religion, and it's a false religion. So,
amen. Well, we got about 3 minutes left. Closing thoughts, gentlemen.
Daylight saving time this weekend. Don't get caught short.
Yep. Keep your head up. There's lots of things going on, and I think enjoy the ride. I mean, wow. So.
Yeah, and I'm excited. I think that there's a lot of things that people are waking up. This last week got several people. I think I got four or five people that either wrote in or called in and got wanted to be put on the Dragon Slayer newsletter mailing list. So that was encouraging for me. Got one person that wrote in from Canada and says, take me off your mailing list and don't send me that garbage again. Well, that was good too. I was encouraged by that because, it's, I don't know. It, 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 uh, it did make me smile. And also was one of the other encouraging things that happened this last week was got in contact prison warden, and also he works as a he's got kind of a dual role at a state prison in Georgia, contacted me, and he is the chaplain also, and he wanted 15 booklets on how to become a Christian and baptism tax, and he said he's got talked to him for a while and just said he's got people that are on fire down there and on fire for the Lord. They want the truth. So we sent them some newsletters. We sent them the Bible Law Course. We sent them a whole bunch of information. Just loaded them up with stuff. Got that sent out this week, and they're going to be passing that out. And had several prisoners that have reached out to us that were people that were on our Scriptures for America prison ministry, and they're out and got jobs now, and you know, wanting more information. So That's encouraging. I was really encouraged by that. So praise the Lord for that. And do ask you praise folks out there that just, you know, please keep the prison ministry in your prayers and keep those that that we're reaching. We're trying to reach these guys in the prisons, guys as gals, you know, you name it. But keep those people, those prisoners in your prayers, too. I would appreciate that. And we are out of time. God bless, folks. Thanks for being here.